So we're discussing this Bhagavat Arkamrichi Mala, which is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wonderful contribution as a study guide to Srimad Bhagavatam by taking 1,100 verses from the Bhagavatam and putting them into three categories, Sambandha Gyan, Avideya, and Prayojana. And he calls each chapter a ray. Arka means ray. Arkamrichi, ray of light. Arka means sun. Well, this is the fifth ray, which describes the truth about the Lord's energies, which is Shakti Tattva. So we're hearing about the external energy, the internal energy, and how Krishna, his body is not material, it's spiritual. This is a review. And then we're hearing how that Krishna's body is different than any body of this material world. There's no inside, there's no outside. It's made of spiritual energy. And what is the benefit or effect of meditating on that form? If you meditate on any form of this world, then you'll become contaminated, become attached to this world. But Krishna, there's so many verses we cited from Bhagavatam yesterday, that if you absorb your mind in the lotus feet of Krishna, you'll no longer be contaminated by matter. But if a man like gets some, you know, picture of some movie star and puts it over his bed and meditates day and night, then, you know, he's gone. He's finished. He'll become a movie star in his next life or some kind of something. And so this is a problem. But if we have a poster of Krishna over our bed and we meditate on Krishna, then we'll become free from birth and death. So someone might say, that's nice to meditate on Krishna, but how attractive is he? Then he cited a verse in ninth canto, Shukadev telling Parikshit that Krishna's form is so wonderful, and the proof that Krishna's form is made of some special energy, not material energy, because in material energy only opposites attract. Human men are attracted to human women, and human women are attracted to human men. But in Krishna's realm, his beauty is so attractive. First of all, it attracts himself, which we read a verse about that, because his beauty is so extraordinary. And the other point, which we didn't read, but it's there in Bhagavatam, that Krishna's beauty attracts all living entities. Generally, like, for example, a male pig will be attracted to a female pig and think that she's, like, gorgeous and ravishing. Oh, what a ravishing pig, what a gorgeous pig. I'm just all excited, baby. I can't live without you. So then they get married and have 16 kids at a shot. You know, before he knows it, he's got like 32 and 64. he's got his hands
minimum 60.
Hands full. And so this is a big problem. But Krishna, we hear in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna's form is transcendental, that animals, birds, rivers, trees, sentient and insentient, all forms of life are attracted to Krishna. And they feel ecstatic connection with Krishna. The trees, when trees have eyes, when they see Krishna coming, entering the forest, they say, oh, here comes Krishna. And they start trembling. The leaves on the tree start trembling. Oh, he's so beautiful. I'm trembling and delight just to have his darshan. And then they start crying. Oh, Krishna's coming into our forest today. Yesterday he went to another forest. Now he's coming to our forest, to Kamyavan. And yesterday he went to Vajravan. But now he's coming to our forest. And they're trembling. The leaves are shaking on the trees. And they're trembling. Then they start crying. These are all sattvic bhavs. And the trees start crying. What are the tears of the trees? The tears of the trees are the honey. The honey pouring from the beehives. The beehives hanging on the branches. They start dripping honey going down. And so this way, even the trees are reciprocating with the beauty of the Lord. The trees are attracted to Krishna. What to speak of the bird, the parrots and the peacocks and the gopas and the gopis, males and females. So we heard that yesterday, how that men and women become ecstatic by drinking the nectar of Krishna's form with their eyes. And they become so ecstatic, they become crazy. When you're blissful, you become a little crazy sometimes. So in their craziness, they start cursing the providence. They start cursing the creator. Hey, Brahma, you stupid fool. What kind of eyes have you given us? These eyes of the human being, they blink. And every time they blink, then we can't see Krishna for 1/60th of a second. So this is your imperfect. You made a mistake. You made fish. Oh, we see in the ocean you made fish, and their eyes don't blink. There's always... Well, there's nothing to look at there except a fish. Fish and water. But Krishna is the perfection of vision. You see, Krishna's form is the cynosure of all eyes. It's a Netra Mahotsav. It's a festival for the eyes. But you goofed. Why didn't you give our eyes to the fish and give the fish eyes to us? We should have fish eyes. And even there's a name for Radharani that describes that her eyes are like a fish. It's called Meenakshi. Of course, Radharani's expansion, Durga, also has the name Meenakshi. There's a very famous temple in South India called the Meenakshi Mandir, which is Durga, Shiva's wife. And Shiva's also there. Meenakshi, it's a temple dedicated to Shakti, or Durga. Meenakshi, Meen means Keshavadrita, Meena Sharira, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, right? Meena. Meen means Matsya. Matsya avatar is the fish avatar, Meen. So Meen avatar. So Meen Akshi. Akshi means eye. And Meen means fish. So fish eyes. So someone might say, someone says, oh, I love you, oh Meenakshi. Imagine some man is with his girlfriend, he's, oh Meenakshi. He says, what is it? You comparing me to a fish? What is this? Yeah, tap. Get out of here. Get a good slap. Okay, Chandramukhi. Okay, my face is Chandramukhi. My face is like the moon. Okay, I can accept that. Or, you know, my teeth are like a row of pearls. All right, you know. But now you're saying, I have Meenakshi? Kya bolte? What are you saying? So then, but no, why they describe one of Radharani's names, thousand names of Radharani, is Meenakshi? Because her eyes are shifty. They're always like a fish. Fish are like this. Fish don't just sit one place. They're always toot, 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 toot. They're always toot, toot, toot. Especially little fish. They're very erratic in their movement. So Radharani's eyes, she's called Meenakshi because her eyes are like this. Where is Krishna? You know, where is he? She's always looking for Krishna. So this is the name for Meenakshi. So the gopis, they want to have these type of eyes that they can always see Krishna without blinking. That's where we left off yesterday. There's more discussion about the transcendental form of Krishna. And this is, of course, this whole section, these whole six or seven rays or chapters are about Sambandha Gyan. So we heard about Bhagavat Tattva in the fourth ray, and this is Shakti Tattva. So the Lord's body is also made of Shakti, of energy. The Swarup Shakti, Ladini Shakti, Samvit, and Sandini. So now we heard something about that. Now we're hearing the effect of this body. Well, this is told in the third canto, chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. Yadharma sunor bhatarajasuye nirikshyadrik swastyayanam triloka karsyena chadyaya gatam vidatur arvakshuto koshalam ityamantyata. This happened at the Rajasuya Yajna in somewhere around Delhi, wherever that was, somewhere in Delhi area. Yudhisthira had this big yajna. So the people of the three worlds that were, so many people attended there. There were demigods were invited to that yajna. Rishis were there, Narada Muni, many, many kings were there. Rajasuya, of course, one of the famous co-stars of that Rajasuya yajna was who? Shishupal. Shishupal was the co-star. Who was the star?
Krishna.
Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So then there was some suspense, right? And Shishupal offended Krishna 99 times. And before he could utter his 100th aparad, then what happened? Everybody knows. Everyone's seen Mahabharata on television. Even our Kaveri, she's a teenager and she knows. She knows the history of Indian culture. This is the blessing of India. Yes, Krishna threw his Sudarshan chakra and took away the span of his life with the time factor. So this is that yajna. So people of the three worlds, there were people from three worlds means Bhur Bhuva Swa. Bhur Bhuva Swa. Bhur means this Bhumandala. And Bhuva means these higher planets, Swargaloka. And then Swa means these very high planets. They're all there. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful form, which is the ultimate goal of the living entity's eyes. This is a very nice conclusion. This is the ultimate goal of the living entity's eyes. It says, what is this? I don't have the word for word here. That's the advantage if you have the VBT Bhagavatam and you look at the word for word and you find, whenever it's describing about study, you'll study word for word meaning. You'll study the translation here, the translation in the 10th canto, you read in the Bhagavatam, read the purport, and then read this and see how this fits into the subject of Shakti Tattva, and see how it fits into the subject of some of the category of Sambandha Gyan, and how it distinguishes Krishna, and how from us and Krishna from others. And this way it increases our knowledge and our faith and our understanding of this Bhagavat Tattva, and this is aspect of Krishna known as Shakti Tattva. So that I already explained how to study, right? So the people of the three worlds who attended that Rajasuya, they saw Krishna's beautiful form. Krishna's beautiful form is the ultimate goal of the living entity's eyes. They concluded, everyone that saw this form, they concluded that Krishna's form was the Creator's ultimate work in creation. So this is their... Because not everybody, of course, was a devotee. But many kings were there. At least they had to agree to that point. Well, this Krishna's form, what we're seeing here, he's the ultimate form. The ultimate work in creation. That whatever the Creator has done, he's created so many attractive and beautiful things. Nothing can compare with the form of Krishna. So that was the conclusion. That was a unanimous opinion. Whether or not everyone accepted him as God or Bhagavan, that's another point. Obviously, Shishupal and his cronies, they didn't accept him. Chetiraj and his cronies. Chetiraj is the Raj of Cheti. Cheti was the name of the kingdom, Bihar. The area of Bihar, much more, Tibet, a very large area of North India, was all controlled by Shishupal. I think so. And then he's Chetiraj. So Chetiraj and his cronies, he had so many people with him. They said, oh, okay, this Krishna, what is Krishna doing? What was Krishna doing at the Rajasuya? What was his job? Washing the feet. He was washing the feet of the kings. All the great kings and rishis are coming to this yajna, this Rajasuya yajna being conducted by Yudhisthira. And Krishna took the job of washing the feet. And picking up their shoes and putting their shoes on a shoe rack. Would you do that? It's not an easy thing to do. And especially if you're a king. Because now you have to think, in this particular time, Krishna was not in Vrindavan anymore. He's coming from Dwarka Mathura. From Dwarka. So Krishna is a prince, he's a king. Rajavesh. So he, along with the body, along with the position, comes the ego. If you're a big sadhu in Hardwar, you have the ego of a sadhu. Hey, Mahamandaleshwar, Ekazarat. And it goes with the position. Position brings ego. Body brings ego. So then Krishna also had his ego. I'm a king. And all these other kings have their egos. Their pride. Pride is one of the qualities of the king. Pratishtata. Distinction. I'm the king of this kingdom. So then Krishna's there, he's a king, and the king is doing the work of a bhangi. He's taking the shoes. So when all the other kings walk to this, look at this Krishna. Take my shoes, small fry. It's like it's really made their ego even more. So Krishna, oh yes, I take your shoes. Dandavat. And wash your feet. Inconceivable. If you actually think about it, just think, try to be there and pretend you're a king and you're walking up to this assembly in this huge palace, and then Krishna's not wearing a gamsha. He's not like some shoewala at some temple with a gamsha on. He's all in royal vesh, silk clothes, gold chains everywhere, a helmet, everything. He's not sitting there in a gamsha tied around his head. He's another king, and the king is receiving. It's unbelievable. It's just that one scene is enough to melt your heart. How much love, how much humility. We have nothing, we're so proud of nothing. They say the pauper is proud of his penny. Pauper means the poor person, Daridra. He has a penny. Oh, I have a penny. This other beggar doesn't have a penny. I have a penny. Hey, you want it? You better be nice to me. If you want to share this penny with me, then you better be nice to me and recognize that I have a penny and you don't. Oh yeah, you have a penny. You're a good bum, You're a very good bum. You're a good poor person. You be nice to me. Yeah, okay, you be nice. I'll give you half a penny. So Krishna is like this. Where's the ego there? God has no ego. But we're nothing. We're imitation God, and we have this huge ego. Could any of us do that? Go somewhere, like in the Gurudwaras, and the Sikh Gurudwaras. So you go there, and they have the way they design their buildings and everything. It's on a main street in Chandni Chowk, which is a little dirty, smelly, stinky place, all dust everywhere. And there's a sidewalk, and then there's steps. You go up like 21 steps, whatever, some kind of Vedic proper thing. You go so many steps to the main temple, which you're supposed to go up steps to the temple. But on the sidewalk level, there's a place where they take the shoes. If you want to, you know. So the people that are taking the shoes are in the building because the sidewalk is public, and then the building starts. But they're like 8 feet below the ground. There's a shoe room which is like 8 feet below the ground. The people are sitting there. Their faces are at your feet. They're at the sidewalk, and you come and you say, "Oh, here's my shoes." And you put your shoes on their head, and they take your shoes and they put it in a slot, and they give you number 101 or whatever they give. Oh, and they also polish your shoes. That I didn't know. Because I had canvas shoes, so I didn't know the difference. You know, bum shoes, Prabhupada shoes. So you can't tell if they're polished or not. Maybe they did. Maybe they brushed the dirt off or something. Took up the cow dung from Vrindavan. So, and then they, of course, there's no charge. And then the thing is, are these just some kind of Bihari, you know, slaves hired there to take the shoes? No. There's all these ladies and gents. Ladies are in the, like silk saris, gold chains, rubies, diamonds on their finger, and they, you know, beautiful everything. Very beautiful Punjabi ladies. Talking about the Gurudwara in Delhi, how they take your shoes in the Shishgang. I went to the Shishgang Gurudwara, and then the shoe place is below the sidewalk. You walk by on the sidewalk, and the people are. The building starts there, it's about 6 feet below, and you just hand them from the sidewalk, you just give them your shoes, and they take it from the sidewalk. Their head is at the level of your feet. That's the shoe room. And then they pass up the ticket like this, then you go up the stairs to the temple, it's like, you know, 15 feet above the street, you know, proper.
So you don't have to bend and give it to them? No, you don't.
It's right there, it's perfect. But the whole thing, and they're just eating all this dust of all the from the sidewalk. And so that's one thing, but then the people taking the shoes are not some like you see in Vrindavan Temple, Krishna Brahma Temple. There's some Bengali guy hired to take the shoes. He's just some rickshaw wala or whatever, you know, nobody. He's just in the gumshoe or whatever. A nice guy, you give him a tip or whatever, 10 rupees, whatever. Huh? No, he's paid. It's not seva. If you're paid, it's not seva. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, in Gurudwara. In Gurudwara, there's all everyone's competing to get their turn. When's my day to take the shoes? So all the richest people, all the richest members of the Gurudwara, I mean, you know, diamond rings, you know, they're all like, you look down, you say, you feel like, I say, no, I can't give you my shoes. You know, I went, because devotee can't, no, that's okay. No, give me your shoes. I said, it was a big tug of war. You know? I said, no, I'll come down there. And I didn't know how to get down there, because there's just this little window like this along the sidewalk, and about 20 people taking shoes. So then, that was like this. So Krishna's at the Rajasuya Yajna in Delhi, or somewhere in that area. And he's doing that position. He's taking the shoes of the kings and washing their feet, what to speak of, brushing their shoes. So no one really thought he was a big guy. No one really thought he was God. And no one even thought very much of him as a king. What kind of king is this? You know, you're my shoeshine boy. You're my shoeshine boy. You're shining my shoes. Yeah, take my shoes. Yeah, wash my feet. You can imagine the kings when Krishna's. Can you imagine? Just this one scene. You can spend days just meditating on this. One king, you know, Shishupal. Imagine Shishupal comes up. Shishupal is this huge figure. The men were huge then, 12 feet high, you know, like this. It's told in Mahabharata. Arjuna was 15 feet tall. I'm going to figure that out. Haribo. How do you like that? You knee high to a grasshopper. That's a phrase we had. If somebody was short in American slang, we say, you're knee-high to a grasshopper. You're as tall as a grasshopper's knee, in other words. I mean, some guy's small kid, your small brother's trying to big, hey, you're knee-high to a grasshopper, get out of here. You know, you don't know anything. America's like so many crazy things. At any rate, Shishupal comes up there, yeah, take my shoes, yeah, take them. You know, and then may I wash your feet, Shishupal? Oh yeah, go ahead. And sits down, and then Krishna comes in the assembly. This guy, why are you trying to pick him for to be worshipped? It's called Agra Puja, the first puja before the Rajasuya get a sacrifice. You know, worship all the demigods. You have to worship some exalted person in the assembly. So Sahadeva Nakula, they said, we raise our hand. They're also kings. We think that Krishna should be worshipped. And all the kings said, "Wow, boo, ah, man, boo, boo. What is this, Krishna? Hey, what is this, Kshatriya, coward boy? What the hell is he? We don't know his gotra, his father, mother, his father is Vasudev, Yashoda. No, what is this guy? He's a mixed breed. He's a mutt. He's a mutt. He's a mixed breed. We don't know what his gotra is. Varna, is he Vaishya, Brijbasi, coward, dirt man, or he's a Kshatriya from Dwarka. He's some Jaduwala. We don't know what his real thing is, you know. And look at color is. He's all black, you know. Very funny color. All the kings are golden. Shishupal, they all have golden skin like the sun. Brilliant golden bodies. Arjuna, golden body. This guy's black. He's some Negro. That's how they felt. This is their ego. Not to offend our Lord, but this is how actually how they felt. You have to understand. What is this? Some black man you're going to make do the puja first? So all the kings are golden. You read, Lord Shiva's skin is shining like gold. But he covers himself with ashes. They do all these paintings. He's like blue or charcoal color. But when you read description of Shiva's body, is like shining like a thousand suns. He's totally golden skin. Not black. But he puts ashes all over himself, so he looks bluish black. And they do all these paintings. So then they all are critical. So many kings. Hey, what is this? You know, Shishupal should be given the Agra Puja. And then Shishupal started saying, yes, and this guy is this, and he's that, and he's Adama, and he's this, that. And so many words he was using. 99. Then Krishna said, okay, I washed your feet, I took your shoes, so now I'm going to take your head. I started with your feet, and I worked my way up, now I'll take your head. Choom! Sudarshan Chakra was released, and off with his head. No more offenses, no more aparads. And of course his body merged into Krishna's body, and that's described. But at least everyone was there. They concluded that, yes, Krishna's form was the Creator's ultimate work in creation. This was the further evidence that Bhaktivinoda is giving from the Srimad Bhagavatam to establish the preeminence and unique position of Krishna, his transcendental form. Because we have to, before we enter Leela, because Krishna's Leela, which is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, is all a play. Leela means play. It's a play of Krishna's Yogamaya Shakti. It's all Krishna's Yogamaya Shakti. So unless we have some understanding of Shakti Tattva, how there's different categories of Shakti, there's Antaranga Shakti, internal energy, then there's external energy, Bahiranga Shakti, this Maya Shakti, Mahamaya, then there's Tattva Shakti, the Jivas, the conditioned Jivas, or the Mukta Jivas, and then there's all these different levels. So before we approach Krishna's Leela, we have to put everything in place. So of course the chapter concludes with some entrance into Krishna's Leela. So the Leela that Krishna manifests here in this material world, when he brings all of his associates, and they all have spiritual bodies, and he comes here, and they all have spirit, and he has a spiritual body. And when he brings the holy Dai, he brings Goloka here. And Goloka is transcendental. It's not, although it's in the world but not of the world. Like the oil is on the water. It's floating on the water, but it maintains its own unique identity. The oil is the oil, the water is the water. They appear to be touching, but actually they're separated. There's some demarcation. Oil is there, water is below it. Oil floats on water. So when Krishna's Leela, when Krishna's Dham comes here, the lotus of Braj, it's this UP or whatever you want to say, this Uttar Pradesh, this land of India, that is just the water. And the spiritual world, Goloka, is oil. It looks like it's in UP, but it's not. It's even an offense. It's a Dham Aparad to try to measure the Dham or to think that yes, Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri is part, or Mayapur is part of UP, Orissa or Bengal. This is an offense to the Dham. The Dham is totally transcendental. The Yogamaya Shakti. It is Antaranga Shakti. Antaranga Shakti means Sandini Shakti Balaram. And Samvit Shakti Vasudev Krishna. And Ladini Shakti Radharani. So this is the holy Dham. So this is all expansions of Krishna's energies, which creates the Dham, and then expansions of his own energy creates his associates. He expands his energy to Balaram. Then Balaram expands his energy to create all Krishna's servitors. They're all expressions. And their forms are totally spiritual energy, Surup Shakti. So this we have to understand. There's a difference. Otherwise we become the Bhagavad Gita Mudha. The Mudha in the Bhagavad Gita. Avajanati Mam Mudha. Manusham Tanam Ashritam. When I take shelter of a human form, they think I'm like you. Oh, you're made of stool? You're made of stool and urine, pus and blood and all these hair and nails and bones? Oh, then Krishna, you're the same way. This is our misconception. No, only a Mudha will think like this, uneducated. So now he starts to enter the Leela, describe Krishna's Leela, and how the... And he introduces the Leela by showing when Krishna comes to this world, shows his divine spiritual Leela, then there's some amazing things he does, which he doesn't do in the spiritual world, at least in tangible form. This is the third canto, chapter 2, verse 23. This is describing Putana. Putana was the first demon in Krishna Leela, mother acting as demon. Mother trying to kill the child. Not a very good mother. So the child is the child of bhakti. Right? The child of bhakti. And the enemy of bhakti is Kans and his agents. So Putana is an agent of Kans. So Kans represents lust, greed, anger. So these are the enemies of the baby of bhakti. Lust, anger, and greed. So Putana was deployed, or deputed, she was deputed by Kansa, or Kans, to go kill Krishna. So she came after 6 days. Aho bakiyam stanaka lakutam jigam shayapayayad apyasadvi lebegatim dat yuchitam tatonyam kambadayalam sharanam brajema. Alas, the most astonishing fact is that although Putana, the sister of Bakasura, made Krishna drink milk from her breast, which was smeared with poison to kill him, yet she attained the position of Krishna's mother. Therefore, who can I take shelter of who is more merciful than Krishna? So Kalakutam. Kalakutam is an extremely deadly poison. And that's what she smeared on her breast. She could kill 1,000 men with that poison. What to speak of an innocent, feeble baby. So this is the introduction verse Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving to conclude this chapter on Shakti Tattva. To show that the power of Krishna's Leela and the power of Krishna's mercy that he displayed when he displayed his divine transcendental Leela in this material world. When Yogamaya Shakti, when Krishna Srup Shakti came into this material world and displayed the entire spiritual world, there are some special features here. Krishna's birth, Krishna's growing up, and Krishna's killing of demons are only done, basically, at least Jiva Goswami is explaining, are only performed here in the material world. In the spiritual world, Krishna's Navayovanam, Nitya Navayovanam. He's always youthful. What is Krishna's eternal age?
15 years,
9 months, 7.5 days, according to the... This is maybe Sanat Kamara Samhita, which is quoted in Gaura Govinda Archana Smarana, Archana Padati Smaranam, or whatever. Then what is Radharani's eternal age?
14 years.
2 months and 15 days. How many hours? Oh, so. Anyway, that's about enough detail for now. And hours and seconds we'll get into later. So this is Krishna's age there. So this Jiva Goswami is saying that this killing of demons here in this world, it has a special purpose. To show Krishna's unbounded mercy, and to also to illustrate different tendencies within us which keep us from braj bhajan or surrendered service to the Lord. So this is the astonishing fact. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. It's so amazing and wonderful that this witch came to kill Krishna And he said, okay, you become my mother. You want to offer your breast to me as my mother? So I'll accept the good wishes, not your bad wishes. Your good wishes is to be my mother. And you're coming in the form of mother. You've disguised yourself as a demigod. She was an ugly witch. But she disguised herself as a very beautiful celestial being. But she fooled everyone. She fooled Rohini and Yashoda. They were thinking maybe she's some demigod. They were bewildered by her tantric shakti. And they allowed her to go in and pick up Krishna into the infirmary. Or what do you call it? Not infirmary, but baby room, whatever that is. Baby room? Baby room is called? And the baby room. There's a maternity ward, and then there's a nursery school, whatever. And baby room. And then she took him. But then Krishna was so kind to her that he made her a nursemaid in the spiritual world. It says, Datri. Lebe gatim Datri uchitam tatonyam. Datri means nurse. Wet nurse. Mother has maybe less milk, so some other lady with milk, she's giving milk to the baby. So here she gave milk full of poison, but when she was liberated the spiritual world, she gave milk to Krishna. No poison. Pure milk. But Krishna, that's what Krishna does. When someone approaches Krishna, he takes out our bad qualities and accepts our good qualities. So this is, Putana's bad quality was her intention. Her intention. Her form was mother, but her intention was to kill. So our form may be one thing and our intention may be something else. We may intend to do good, but our form may express bad. So when the form and intention are one, then that's perfection. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he introduces a section here. The eternal pastimes of Goloka are manifested in this world by the Lord's internal potency. Of course, I've been describing that already. Just as Krishna himself, he is that embodiment of the internal potency. He is Satchidananda Vigraha, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. And his dham, his body is Chit Shakti, spiritual energy, and his dham is Chit Dham. His dham is called Chit. Chit Dham, it is the land of consciousness. Is a land, is eternity, is a land, everlasting land, land that spiritual world exists forever, and it's made of unlimited knowledge and joy, happiness. It is made of that. Everywhere you find joy, joy in the land, joy in the water, joy in the trees, joy is in the atmosphere. It's there. But at this place, the material world, there is death in the atmosphere. This world is called Martyaloka. Martyaloka means the planet of death. Like Planet of the Apes. Yeah, some movie about Planet of the Apes. Still going on. So Martyaloka means the planet of death. So death is in the atmosphere. They say death is always waiting by our left shoulder. It's always here waiting. And we don't want to look over there. We always look forward. We don't want to consider that fact. And death is right with us. So the atmosphere is saturated with death. And then, because it's Kali Yuga, so the Earth is always that way. The Earth planet, whether no matter what the Yuga is, the Earth planet, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, is always saturated with this atmosphere of death. But in Kali Yuga, there's some more features added. In Satya Yuga, the atmosphere is saturated with death, but there's hopefulness, because there's a lot of sattva-gun. And there's all truthfulness, mercy, cleanliness, and austerity. That's also in the atmosphere. But the overall cloud is death. You can be truthful and do yoga and meditation and attain perfection, but you know you'll die. Everyone knows they'll die. So they're working hard. Fully conscious of that, they work in a very hopeful way at the yoga mark to attain perfection. But when we come into Kali Yuga, which we're living in, not only is the atmosphere surcharged with death, but it's surcharged with fighting. It's surcharged. It's everywhere. The land is made of fighting. Even when you study Vastu, they describe the effect of different types of soil. This is the soil in Kali Yuga. The red soil, if there's some red soil, earth, soil means earth, bhumi, if that is red color, don't buy it. Don't live there because there'll be fighting. There's red soil. Red soil is creates fighting. So if you look at Delhi, the whole Delhi is all red soil. Everywhere is red. If you look at it, it's like this reddish soil. So there's so much fighting, so much intrigue, so much... That's a political place. Politics means fighting. There's many, many things. So this whole atmosphere is surcharged in Kali Yuga. Not only Delhi, but the whole, every planet, every place in Kali Yuga, in the Earth planet. So much fighting, so much quarreling, so much division, so much alienation, so much anxiety, so much unhappiness, sadness. So the atmosphere is quite opposite the spiritual world. Everywhere is saturated joy, bliss, knowledge, cognizance, awareness, light, clarity, purity. They say every word is like poetry. When people are just speaking beautiful, sweet words, and every step is like a dance. People are just dancing. Here, people are walking. Like sometimes I remember in college, they were showing movies of New York, and they were having some commentary. And, you know, they had these huge sidewalks in New York City in Manhattan, and during rush hour, people going to work, thousands and thousands of people you've seen going down the sidewalks, a certain Fifth Avenue or different big streets in Manhattan, and this camera was showing out of a certain angle, and the people were all bent over like this. No one, they were almost like leaning like this, carrying their attaché cases or suitcases. And businessmen and secretaries, and there was some music to it and some commentary. It was so much impression that millions of people just, you know, running passionately, bent over like just going to work. But in the spiritual world, Krishna says dancing. You know, every step is a dance. He's just, I go here, I go there. Maybe I go over, oh, that looks nice, let's go there. Oh, Krishna, come here, look at those trees, there's so many fruits. Oh, yeah, let's go there. Hey, bring the cows. You know, and they blow the Venu and bring the cows over there. Every step is a dance, and the speaking is like poetry, and this is joy, domain of joy, Anandam, Chittam. So that Goloka, Krishna brings to this world. He brings to Navadvipa, he brings to Puri, he brings to Vrindavan. And then Krishna has pastimes there. So all these pastimes, even this pastime of him killing Putana, it's all being enacted by Krishna's internal potency. We talked about it's different, there's Antaranga Shakti. So these pastimes, they're in the material world, which is the Bahiranga Shakti, the material potency, Mahamaya everywhere. But Krishna's spiritual Dham, the holy Dham Vrindavan, this is Yoga Maya. This is internal energy. The context or the surrounding area is external. When you're in Brajadam, you're in the internal energy. As soon as you take a step out of Brajadam, then you're in the external energy. Of course, in the absence of Krishna, then there's some mayak coating of the holy Dham. Like a film. It's like a film on water. You take out the film, then the water's there. The film is ego. There's a film over the holy Dham. It's called the enjoying spirit. Enjoying spirit means ego. So there's so many people living in the Dham, they don't have Seva Bhav, they have Kam Bhav. Kam Bhav means the Bhav to enjoy. Seva Bhav means the feeling and Bhav to serve Krishna and please Krishna. When Krishna is living in Vrindavan, everyone had Seva Bhav. Sevanand, Balaram, everyone was absorbed in the bliss of serving Krishna. Only one ego. Krishna, whatever Krishna's desire is, whatever will make him happy, that'll make me happy. But now Krishna's left, so now there's some influence of the age of Kali. So now there's so much Kambhav there. Separate interests. But someone can come there, if someone comes to Brajadam and lives there today in Brajadam and he doesn't have Kambhav, he has Sevabhav, then that film will be, that ego will be removed. That false ego, that covering, that Maya covering, which is false ego, will be removed from the Dham, and then he'll see the Chit. He'll see the Chit Dham. He'll see the real Dham. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanin. He'll see Krishna's pastimes. Hear Krishna's flute. This is available because it is the holy Dham. This is Nitya. So he cites a verse, 3rd canto, chapter 2, verse 27. Parito vatsaper vatsamj charayan vyaharad vibhu yamano pavane kujad dvija sankulitang gripe. Lord Krishna enjoys his pastimes in Vrindavan, surrounded by his coward boyfriends, Vatsa, Parito Vatsa. He wanders about tending the cows in the river, Yamuna riverbanks, Yamuna Upavan, which are decorated with transcendental trees and filled with chirping birds. Kujat, Kujat Kokila Hamsa Sarasagana, Kujat Dvija Sankulitangripe. So this is Krishna giving, this verse is giving a vision. Yes, Krishna enjoys his pastimes in Vrindavan. It's all going on by his internal potency. His coward boyfriends are all internal spiritual potency. The cows are internal spiritual potency. The Yamuna River is internal spiritual potency. The chirping birds are internal spiritual potency. And says transcendental trees. So the trees are also internal potency. Dancing trees, singing trees. Sounds like Alice in Wonderland. Is it a fairy tale? Is it mythology? No, it's science. It's a fact. It's another world. So now he's mentioning the Lord has all these different pastimes in Vrindavan with his internal energy. And for each of these pastimes, Krishna is immortalized with a particular name which encapsulates that pastime within that name, Namrup Guna Lila. And all these names which describe Krishna's pastimes are also transcendental. They are part of Krishna's Sarup Shakti, internal potency. So there's names like Rasabihari. What does Rasabihari mean? It means he who enjoys the rasa dance. So the pastime is a rasa dance. And Krishna's name describing that pastime is Rasabihari. And then there's Damodar. You've heard of Damodar? What is this? What is describing Damodar? What is that Leela? Yashoda Maya. She tied up Lalaji. So this is a Leela. Transcendental Leela. With his transcendental associates. And a transcendental rope. What was that rope? That rope that tied Krishna, was it material rope? No, it was transcendental rope. It was a prema pash. Pash means rope. It was a rope of love. So these names of Krishna's, describing Krishna's pastimes, are also eternal. And they're part of the spiritual energy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wants to bring this point out. The names of the Lord are eternal. And Garga Muni is telling this to Nanda Maharaj. Of course, Garga Muni, why was he, well, what is his role? It's called Nam Karana. It's one, Dasavita Samskara. One of the Samskaras is called a name-giving ceremony. I think it's called Nam Karana. So Garga Muni was called to the Goshala in a very secret and private way. He calculated the hora, or the Janma Kundali of Krishna and Balaram. And then, based on those calculations, then he gave names to Krishna and Balaram. He said, this one Balaram, he will bring the families together. He will bring your family together with the family of Vasudev. Nanda Maharaj, your family will become united with the family of Vasudev in a very friendly relationship. So he will pull you together. So his name should be Sankarshan. Karshan means pulling power. Samyak means completely. So he will completely bring you together with Vasudeva. And of course that came to pass. They became very good friends. Because there's some relationship also. Because Vasudeva, there's some relative of Yashoda or something, I forget. There's some connection, the family connection. The names of Krishna are eternal. So Garga Muni said to Nanda Maharaj at that time during a name-giving ceremony, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Verse 13, Asanvarnashtrayo yasya grinato nu yagam tanu
Shuklo raktastata pita idanim krishnatam gata.
O Nanda, your son has previously appeared in the three colors, white, red, and yellow. So white is the Hamsa avatar, red is Yajna avatar, and yellow is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Your son appears in every yuga. In Satya Yuga as Hamsa, and Treta Yuga as Yajna, and Dwapara Yuga as Krishna, and Kali Yuga as Chaitanya. Now he has appeared in a blackish color. And then he goes on to say, Gargamuni, text 15, Pahoni Shanti Namani Rupani Cha Sutasite Guna Karman Rupani Tanyaham Veda No Jana. Krishna has many names and forms according to his qualities and activities. Through the study of the Shastras, I know them, but they are not known by ordinary people. So now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he concludes the chapter where he's introduced Krishna Leela, and he's explained that Krishna has many, many pastimes, and he has different forms to engage in those pastimes, and he has different names which describe those pastimes, and all these names are transcendental. Now he's concluding the chapter by saying, if one hears, what is the value and benefit of hearing about Krishna's transcendental Leela in his transcendental form? As we heard about the Krishna's form is made of energy, shakti, antaranga shakti, surva shakti, and his dham is spiritual. So when that spiritual person, that shakti, that surva shakti personified as Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, when he comes to this world with his Satchidananda dham, made of spiritual energy, and he engages in pastimes, either killing demons or with his eternal associates, what is the benefit if you hear about those things? Is it just like hearing about some love stories or some action-packed adventures or some Walt Disney movie? Or what is it? There's not much benefit there. But what is the benefit? And he tells in the 10th canto, 52nd chapter, verse 37. Shutva gunan bhuvanasundara shinvatam te nirvishyakarna vivarer haratonga tapam rupam drisham drishi drishimatam akilarta labham tva yachuta ishati chittam matrap apatrapam me. The translation. O beautiful personality of the whole world, O Achyuta. Bhuvanasundara Shinvatamte. Bhuvanasundara. Bhuvanasundara means, oh Achyuta, oh Krishna, you're beautiful, you're Sundar. Sham Sundar. You're so beautiful, Bhuvana. Throughout all the worlds, Bhur Bhuvaswa, Bhuvana. Bhuvanasundara. You're so much beautiful. Your transcendental qualities remove the distress. Your transcendental qualities remove the distress of those who faithfully hear about them. So we already mentioned that Kali Yuga is an age full of distress. There's so much distress in Kali Yuga. So much anxieties. What do we say? What is the biggest cause of death? Stress. You never heard this? Have you heard of stress? Is there any stress management? Is there any stress in your business, Ravinder? No stress? A guy gives you an order in the morning for printing a book, and he says, I want it in the afternoon. And it tastes always working under pressure. I mean, stress. So many stress-related diseases. It was a stress, so this world is full of distress. And we have to de-stress. Distress means de-stress. That's what people try to do. The art of this, the art of that. The art of de-stressing. Relax, relax, become peaceful. Shanti, shanti. De-stress. Because this world is full of distress. Right? So what's the remedy? What's the stress formula? What's the remedy to remove distress? I just read it. You just woke up because it's almost prasadam time. What's the remedy for the stress, which according to what we read here from the... Thank you. To hear Krishna Katha, the verse that we read, you were out, so you didn't hear it. That this is
This verse is spoken by Rukmini. Rukmini fell in love with Krishna. Was it love at first sight? It was love when she, Narada Muni and other rishis, they came to visit her father, Bhishmaka, King Bhishmaka. And he would do yajnas and invite the rishis there and reward them handsomely. And then he'd say, well, tell me something, speak some Harikatha. So then they would speak about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Dwarka. And Rukmini would sit there, her father would say, sit down. Rukmini, this is good for you. You should go to class. Just like some mothers and fathers, they say, hey, Kaveri, sit down. I don't want to go. No, you sit down. Okay. So Rukmini's sitting down, and she's listening. And she's listening. Oh, and they would come regularly. When she was 5 years old, 8 years old, as she's growing up, then also her desires grow up. When you're little, you have little desires. Barbie dolls and dirt bombs. Dirt bomb laddus, like your Radha's, she's making me laddus out of sand. But later on, she'll have different desires, I'm sure. She won't desire to make laddus out of sand. So Rukmini's hearing all the time about Krishna, the beauty and glories of Krishna. She's growing up. Then when her desires grew up, then her heart was completely wrapped around Krishna. She couldn't think of anyone else but Krishna. She didn't desire anyone else but Krishna. So all this absorption, all this detachment, all this fixation came simply by hearing Harikatha. She became free from all distress, free from all other interests. All she cared about was, I must attain Krishna as my husband. Although her brother Rukmi wanted her to marry maybe Shishupal. But she was dead set on Krishna. So she's telling this. This is an excerpt from her letter. She wrote a letter to Krishna, had several verses in it. So she's telling Bhuvana Sundara, Srinvatam Te. She's saying, oh, beautiful. It's a love letter. It's a love letter, a philosophical love letter. Interesting love letter, right? Usually you say, I love you. Can't live without you. I must meet you immediately, or where are you? Whatever. But it's a philosophical love letter. Very interesting. So she says, oh, beautiful personality of the whole world. Oh, Achyuta. Of course, she's also... Why is she using this word Achyuta? Achyuta means infallible, one who never fails. Achyuta means one who never fails to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. So I'm calling you Achyuta, and I'm going to ask you to come and kidnap me. Are you going to fail me? Are you going to let me down? And he's thinking, oh my God, this girl's wrote me this letter and she's calling me Achyuta. She could have said Govinda, Damodar, Madhav, so many words, but she thought, there's a lot of thought why she said Achyuta. Hey, listen, you're known as Achyuta. You don't let anybody down, so don't let me down now. Because if you don't come and take me, then the jackal is going to get what is meant for the lion. Because the jackal is Shishupal and the lion is Krishna. I am a deer and you should take me. But if you don't come, then the jackal will get me. So she says, Achyuta, hey Achyuta. So this is a Kshatriya, remember. Who is Rukmini? Is she a Shudra? She's a Kshatriya. Like Rani Jhansi. Rani Jhansi. What? Jhansi Ki Rani. So she has Kshatriya blood. So she's challenging her lover. Oh, beautiful personality of Godhead. What are you made of? You a man or a mouse? You're going to come or you're going to use... What is this? You're a Achyuta, huh? Let's see. There's a lot of challenge here. And Krishna can understand. Oh, she's fiery. This is Krishna. It's going to be Krishna's first queen in Dwarka, Rukmini. So see how much utsva she has. It's called utsva. Oh, Achyuta. First she butters him up. Oh, most beautiful personality in the world. Oh, yes. Bhuvana Sundara is like setting up the bowling pins. You set them up, then knock them down. So she sets him up. Yes, yes, I'm very beautiful. Oh, Achyuta. Oh, wait a minute. Why is she saying Achyuta? I have 1,000 names. Gopal Sahasranam. I have thousands of names. And not only are Kshatriyas bold, but they're also politicians. And he's thinking, he's also a politician, Krishna. He's in Dwarka. He's thinking, why is this Kshatriya princess use this word, achyuta? What's on her mind? They kept their word. They said they would keep it till marriage. Your transcendental qualities remove the distress of those who faithfully hear about them. Those who have the power of vision and see your beautiful form attain the ultimate goal of life. After hearing about your transcendental qualities and beauty, my heart has shamelessly become attracted to you. She's admitting, I know it's shameful, because it's shameful for some virgin girl to write a love letter to some king, some prince. It's very shameful. I know, but please forgive me, I'm shamelessly, it's shameful. All my lajja is out the window, all my shyness, this is my wealth. The wealth of a woman is her lajja. Radharani's lajeshwari. She's the controller of shyness, lajeshwari. She's the queen of shyness. This is her vibhuti, a woman's vibhuti, her opulence, her shyness. When that's gone, she's nothing. So this 5,000 years ago, you have to understand, this is a shiromani of her character. Her shyness is the crest jewel of her character, shiromani. Crest jewel, shiromani. Now she's throwing it out the window. I don't care, damn it. Krishna, come and take me. I'm in love with you. I know it's shameless, but I have to say it. If I don't say it, I'll be finished. This jackal will take me away tomorrow. So we'll finish the next verse tomorrow.